Madam President, I move that further proceedings in the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The Sergeant-at-Arms will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Ralph Olson from the Union Gospel Mission in St. Paul. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
It's my honor to be with you today, and in this sacred room, there's a diversity of spiritual beliefs and understanding. And with respect for all, I come to you from my Christian tradition. Let me share two quotes with you before my prayer. It's not enough that we do our best. Sometimes we have to do what is required. Winston Churchill. Whenever you do a thing, act as if the whole world is watching. Thomas Jefferson. Let us pray. Gracious God, this is a day that you have made, and we thank you for the gift of life, for blessings, and for the privilege of representing the people of this great state. Many issues are before the senators these days. They are complex issues with strong diversity of opinion. But I ask you to grant each member of this body the wisdom and courage needed to make the often hard decisions that need to be for the good of all of our citizens. I also ask for your spirit to be with the citizens of this state, that the work which needs to be done is not just the responsibility of elected officials, but the responsibility of all of us. We cannot just wait for leaders to act. We also must become individually involved, and together we can accomplish the important goals that are needed for our state. I pray that together we would become bold, courageous, and committed to the task before us, that this great state of Minnesota and its people be a witness to all. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Daines, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fischbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Lori, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J., Peterson B., Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Wieger, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. We move to the third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House file numbers 129, 194, 290, 527, 648, and 1587. Signed, Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
The fourth order of business, first reading of House bills. The bills will be referred as indicated and given their first reading. Fifth order of business, reports of committees. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted with the exception of the report pursuant to Joint Rule 2.03 and the report pertaining to appointments.
With the exception of Senate File 1191, which will be referred to the Committee on Rules. All those in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that Senate Resolution number 55 be laid on the table.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that the committee report pertaining to appointments be laid on the table.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Sixth order of business, the bill printed on the agenda will be read and given its second reading. Seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. The bills printed on the agenda will be given their second reading. The eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills will be given their first reading and referred as indicated. The Secretary has one more bill to read.
Senate file number 1589, a bill for an act relating to the operation of state government finance, allowing the Secretary of State authority to accept funds from local government units for election systems enhancements and to receive certain funds for the address confidentiality program, etc. Introduced by Saxhog, Dietzick, Cohen, Rest.
Bill will be referred to the Committee on Finance and with the others be given its first reading. Ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. These are author motions, which will be accepted in one motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Rood.
Madam President, I move that Senate file number 126 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and returned to its author.
This is your bill?
That is correct.
All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Root.
Madam President, I move that Senate file number 1313 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and returned to its author.
This is also your bill?
That is correct, Madam President.
All those in favor of the motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The resolutions printed on page 5 of the agenda, resolution 57, 58, and 59, will be referred to the Rules Committee. The Secretary will read Senate Resolution number 60.
Senators Bach and Hahn introduce Senate Resolution number 60, a Senate resolution adopting permanent rules of the Senate.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that Senate Resolution number 60 be laid on the table.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move to take up the consent calendar.
All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The first bill on the consent calendar is Senate file number 953, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate file 953 is regarding the Board of Social Work, and the legislation that was enacted in 2012 went to modify the Board of Social Work licensure and forgot one key component, and that key component was that tribal agency social workers were not included in the bill. So this bill comes in and lays back in the Board of Social Workers to be included in the tribal units. And the proposal is initiated by the Minnesota American Indian Mental Health Advisory Council, and that represents the nine of the 11 tribes here in Minnesota. So by getting the tribal units into this bill, the Board of Social Workers can then licensure those social workers that want to be licensed. Members, please, a vote on this is a win-win, and for not only the tribal units but the social workers within the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
All those in favor of the first reading? Discussion. Is there any discussion? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I stand in support of this bill, and I hope you will, too. This was an issue that personally worked on last year to get this licensure in place for these social workers, and I'm glad that the tribes have come to the table and have worked this out, and it was agreed upon by all, so please have a green vote. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate file number 953, a bill for an act relating to health, modifying a social work licensure provision.
The Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 61 yeas, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I'm shortly going to move for a brief recess, but I would like to ask Senator Thompson how long maybe he expects the Republicans would like to caucus, if he'd yield for that question.
Madam President, Senator Bach, thank you.
Senator Thompson.
We think 30 to 45 minutes ought to get it done if that works out all right. And since I'm up, I'll let the Republicans know that the Senate Republican Caucus will meet in room 112 as soon as we can get there. So I'd say 30 to 45 minutes, Senator.
Senator Bach. Madam President, I would move the Senate recess until approximately noon. Majority members, we're not going to caucus, so take this opportunity to have something neat. It may be a long afternoon.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate is in recess.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor say aye. All opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. The Sergeant-at-Arms will bring in the absent members. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move to take Senate Resolution number 60 off the table.
All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, members, Senate Resolution number 60 are the new permanent rules for the Senate for this biennium that we're in. Like every 2 years, we operate under the temporary rules until the Rules Committee gets an opportunity to present permanent rules to the Senate, and like in prior bienniums, there are some small adjustments to the rules. Most of what you're going to hear about was recommended by staff, I think largely from the front desk engrossing or from the sergeant's office. The first changes are to actually bring the rules, to make the rules consistent with the makeup of the committees, going back to divisions and changing the name of the state and local government committee. There's a change in rule 7.2 that changes when budget targets have to be announced. The current rule says 15 days after the deadline is established for omnibus bills. It's a bit vague, so we're changing that to be a little more firm in that the new rule is going to say that the targets have to be issued within 30 days of the February budget forecast. So that puts more certainty into what when the targets have to be announced. That's very consistent with what how the House does it. Rule 10.3 is the other change that did not come from staff. It reinstates another version of a rule that has been in the Senate rules for a long, long time. Previously, what was in the Senate rules was the majority would establish some uniform criteria for committee memberships. And what this proposes to change is that the uniform criteria will be adopted by the Committee on Rules. And I actually think that's better than what previously was in the rules prior to 2011, because this means that bipartisanly the Rules Committee will develop what kind of criteria that committee membership might be subjected to. And the two most common things I can think of, and they're kind of just some unwritten things that leadership considers when they make decisions about what's kind of the appropriateness of members serving on committees. For as long as anybody can remember here, we haven't allowed the chairs of finance divisions to be members of the tax committee. So that's kind of an example. We don't allow a division chair that's going to spend money to be on the committee that's going to raise the revenue. Another example would be, I can't remember a time when we allowed a freshman to serve on the tax committee either. It's such a small committee, it's generally more senior members. So those are a couple of examples that have been longstanding traditions of the Senate that would likely be in some kind of uniform criteria established by the Rules Committee. The credentialing changes, this went through a significant change 2 years ago. what we're proposing to do here is not a big change. 2 years ago, a decision was made to actually give the sergeant-at-arms a specific number of credentials that they could issue for the floor and for the gallery. This gives the sergeant some additional flexibility. It actually changes the hard numbers that were in the rules to a reasonable number of spaces, is what we say. So it gives the sergeant's office a little extra discretion. It makes one other change relative to the kinds of people that would be eligible to receive credentials for the floor. The rule did say that to be eligible to receive credentials to the Senate floor, you had to provide frequent news coverage. So what the change that we made is, rather than to use the word frequent, we use the word regular news coverage, so that you would need to be the kind of an individual that provides regular news coverage of the legislature. The change in Rule 50 is a change on how minutes are handled. The Legislative Reference Library is the place where all minutes ultimately are deposited for the permanent record of the proceedings of the Senate. What the rule does is actually puts a date in. The engrossing secretary from time to time has had trouble getting committee secretaries to get the minutes to the engrossing office so that they can get it done and get it over to the library. You know, I think most of us are aware when the session ends and we go home, oftentimes people take vacations and they don't get around and sometimes forget about getting their minutes to the engrossing secretary. So this puts a date in that they shall be made available to the public as soon as they've been completed and approved, and they have to be over to the Legislative Reference Library by October 1st. Another change really is kind of an update in our rules. Currently, when we have vacancies for positions, we post those. I believe the bulletin board is down in the next to the elevator on the basement floor. There is no provision in the rules to post vacancies on the Senate website, which really has kind of been our practice, but there's no provision in the rules for that. So this allows, in addition to a physical posting in the building, allows us to be able to post vacancies on the website, and for that reason we shorten up the period of time when postings have to be posted from 2 weeks to potentially 1 week. That doesn't mean postings couldn't be open longer than that, but it means at a minimum postings could be 1 week. That, members, is about all that's in here. I think there's some a largely technical and with really the more substantive things I mentioned. So I'd appreciate your support on Senate Resolution Number 60.
Madam President.
Senator Fischbach.
Madam President, for the most part, the rules are in technical in nature. I do have concerns about those changes in Rule 10.3 with the uniform criteria. There's no deadline for it. We don't know, you know, when is it going to be put together. I think custom and usage has done well in the past on those kinds of things where the couple of things that Senator Bach had mentioned about how we do committee assignments. I just really have concerns. Like I said, this could be used to create rules or uniform criteria for a new majority when there's a change, and there's a lot of concern about that with no deadline, no structure to this. And so I am concerned about that rule, but I do understand the others are mainly technical in nature, but that one does bring some concern.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, to Senator Fischbach's point, I think we can keep working on this to make it better, I think. But without anything, the majority really would, on their own, be able to arbitrarily determine anything that they want relative to what potential committee assignments might be. I think this brings some sunlight into that process. I'm not necessarily wed to the exact language. I'm more than willing, if people have ideas to make a modification to this, I'm more than willing to listen to that. I just think it makes our process of developing that committee structure, I hope, more bipartisan.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. In following up on Senator Fischbach's comments, will Senator Bach yield?
Will Senator Bach yield? Senator Bach will yield. Senator Newman.
Madam President, Senator Bach, regarding the uniform criteria, as I had indicated to you in committee, I do agree with your approach that we should have some criteria. However, the rule doesn't specify any, but does go on to say that the uniform criteria must be adopted by the rules or the Committee on Rules and Administration. And my question, Senator Bach, is can you give us some idea of when we might expect to see a committee hearing for the purposes of establishing that criteria? For instance, I really don't think it would be in our best interest to wait for 2 or 3 years. Are we going to see a hearing on that this session or maybe the early part of next session? Can you give us some idea as to when that might happen? Thank you, Madam
Senator
President.
Madam President, Senator Newman, I don't take this lightly, and I think if we put this in the rules, we actually ought to develop something. So I think in the end of the session with all the budget work going on, it's probably not appropriate to tackle that right now, but I think if members of the Rules Committee are interested, I think it would probably be appropriate to set up a subcommittee of rules like we have for a number of other things, and if there are Rules Committee members that are interested in serving on that or other members, could be a larger group than just a subgroup of the Rules Committee. I'm certainly willing to do that. Senator Newman, I'm willing to bring that up at the next Rules Committee meeting and see if the Rules Committee is interested in developing or establishing a subcommittee to work on some uniform criteria for committee memberships. And I would expect that if we do that, they can kind of get their nose to the wheel and bring us something back to consider as soon as we get into session next year.
Is there any more discussion? Is there any more discussion? Are there any amendments? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam President, I'd like to move us the A3 amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Hall moves to amend Senate Resolution Number 60 as follows. Page 9, line 29, after the period, insert.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President. The amendment I'm stating, I think, is fairly important, and I think it'd be important to have members here, so I'd like to impose a call on the Senate.
The Senate is under call.
Say that in my ear.
Thank you, Madam President. I'll move that further proceedings under the call be dispensed with and the sergeants-at-arms be directed to bring in the absent members.
All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The sergeant will bring in the absent members. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A3 amendment to the rules, resolution number 60, would be putting in the underline under 15.6. The amendment reads, the person providing the prayer may provide the prayer in the person's own manner and may provide a prayer that is in accordance with the person's conscience and religious tradition. Members, I believe this is really important. Let me read to you, if I may, in Article 1 of our Minnesota Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Section 16. And I'm just going to read a couple parts of that. The right of every person, every man, to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience shall never be infringed. And further on it says, nor shall any control of or interference with the rights of conscience be permitted. Members, over the last 10 years or so that I've been around, we've had this wonderful tradition. It is opening prayer for our daily sessions. And I really appreciate that tradition. But members, I want to tell you that many clergy have been invited here by members and have felt that their religious liberties and their freedom of speech have been denied. Clergies are asked or suggested that they do not use their deity's name when giving a prayer. Some of the chaplains, in wanting to be respectful, try to pray in some other way, and yet they feel their rights are being violated. Others know their rights, use their deity's name, and then are scolded afterwards by members of this body. I have personally seen this and experienced this. Even a year ago, when I actually read a historical prayer of Congress, afterwards I was chastised from the floor and spoken to by other members. A personal friend of mine who was persecuted in another country because of his faith, it was in India, came to this country because of religious freedom, had been invited to the legislature and was informed the day before that he could not use his deity's name in a prayer. At first he thought that staff member was kidding, but then he realized he wasn't, and he had to tell the staff member he was surprised and could not pray if he was not allowed to use his deity's name. Members, we as members should be responsible for who we invite. And we should be given and continue to given that privilege. And I'm not saying anything about that. But our guest clergy that are invited to pray here in this chamber should be given the courtesy, the responsibility, and the right to pray as they please in their tradition, letting them honor their deity, using their religious freedoms. As they are praying for us, many times I may not be agreeing with the deity they're praying to, but I will listen and respect their words. I will agree with what I can, and I will pray to my deity. We should never chastise them. I believe this is diversity. I believe we all need to be tolerant and respectful, which is what I want our government to be about, which is what I want this chamber to be about. It is about religious freedom, and I hope you can support me in this. And I'd like a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Senator Bach.
Well, Madam President, Senator Hall, I'm not sure that you're aware of this, but I believe we handed out the letter that the front desk gives to chaplains about what the expectations of their prayer are. And I just want everybody to know that the language that's contained in that letter came directly out of a 1983 Supreme Court decision. There was a decision in 1983 relative to the prayer that was used in the Nebraska legislature that ultimately ended up in the Supreme Court. and the Supreme Court issued some very precise language that needed to be used, the types of prayers that don't advance anyone, it says that advance anyone or disparage any other faith or belief. There's specific language in a Supreme Court decision that this was taken word for word from, for that very reason that Senator Hall mentions that free speech argument. So members, I think likely if we make this change, we land ourselves in court by somebody who wants to challenge it. And I think we're the language that we have in the current letter the chaplains are giving and has met the court challenge, and I'd like to leave it how it currently is and ask you to vote against the amendment.
Any more discussion? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Bach, I'm not asking to change the letter. I'm asking, I guess, to change some of the content and the flavor around here. That, first off, they are not chastised afterwards, and they know that they have the freedom to pray in their tradition, in their beliefs. That's all I'm simply doing. To state their deity's name, I don't think is a problem. And I don't think it's a problem with the Supreme Court nor with this body.
Senator Cohen.
Well, Madam President, Senator Hall, I recognize and getting to know you over these last couple of years that you're a person of conviction and sincerity. And in no way would I impugn your religious beliefs, nor again the great sincerity in which you express them. But I can suggest to members of the body that as a member of a minority religion, the question of prayer as expressed by an individual chaplain that does so in a way that excludes others, those of the minority religions, is one that is inappropriate for the Senate floor. I would strongly disagree with your assertion, Senator Hall, that it's a question of religious liberty or freedom. It's not. It's a question of simple courtesy relative to members of other religions other than what is the majority religion in the state, which clearly are Christian religions. There's no question as to that in this state or in this country. But it's a question of whether or not you exclude people. And obviously those of us who are on the other end of it feel excluded when a prayer is offered that would suggest that the prayer for the body is one that cannot include us. Now, obviously, there are folks who come here as chaplains who don't necessarily follow the letter of the letter, and I don't, when I hear such prayers, I normally don't react. I don't, Senator Hall, you've indicated whether or not people are chastised. You know, there was one individual who I think several of us felt crossed a line. Over the years I've been in the state Senate, I think that's probably the only time I have felt that way where a line was crossed. But I don't think there's anything wrong with suggesting to the people who have agreed to serve as chaplain for the day as to what some of the guidelines are. I certainly would think it would be inappropriate for a chaplain to come to this Senate and to offer a prayer on behalf of the principles as enunciated by the Democratic Party and the principles enunciated by the majority party in the state Senate. That would obviously exclude the members of the political minority. And I don't think that would be an infringement on free speech. It would certainly be respectful in the context of the prayer for those who are in the minority. So, Senator Hall, I think what you attempt to do, again, I understand the sincerity of it, and it's not my intent in opposing your amendment to the rules to get into a history of what has been the usage of prayer by legislative bodies in this country. I would certainly recommend to you the letters of James Madison from the 1820s and his reflection on the appropriateness of prayer in public bodies. Not my intent to get into anything like that, but I do think in the context of the Minnesota Senate, there is no reason why we cannot be respectful of those of us who practice a minority religion and not make us feel excluded on the Senate floor. I think that's the issue, not a question of religious freedom or liberty or freedom of speech. You know, we have rules that govern freedom of speech on the Senate floor with all sorts of things we do. When I'm asked to address the President of the Senate and not address individual members, Madam President, it's a control on my freedom of speech that I can't, rather than go through the President, turn around to the person next to me or the person to the right of me and address that person directly. So we do have controls on freedom of speech, as is the case in all parts of American life. But this is something that Senator Hall, again, I will emphasize, Madam President, Senator Hall, I will again emphasize that this is something that I in no way question your sincerity, but as you view it from my perspective and the perspective of those who practice minority religion, a prayer of that sort excludes us when you make that prayer, and certainly excludes us when you put it into the rules of the Minnesota State Senate.
Senator Ortman.
Members, I would ask you to actually read the language of Senator Hall's amendment before you make up your mind on this. The language actually provides more guidance to those that we invite to serve as chaplain. And we, as members, are given the ability and the responsibility to choose well when we invite a chaplain to come and serve for the day. Here's what the language in the amendment actually says. It says the person providing the prayer may provide the prayer in the person's own manner and may provide a prayer that is in accordance with the person's conscience and religious tradition. There's no intent in that language at all to be intolerant or to change the way we do business here in the Minnesota Senate. I urge members to support this because I believe it gives more guidance to those that we ask to serve as chaplains, and I think all the members of this body can be trusted, should be trusted, to choose well, exercise good judgment in making the invitations.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I find I do have to rise to address this subject given the situation I found myself in, I believe it was 2 years ago at the legislature, when I rose, when I felt that the chaplain had crossed a line, and I rose in protest of that. And then that, you know, my rising was actually mischaracterized in the press nationally as saying that I, a Jewish senator, wanted Jesus out of the Senate. And I was horrified to be characterized in that way because I have so much respect for the religion and tradition of each member of this body and was in no way thinking that I would want as the ultimate statement that I was trying to state, because that was never ever my intent. And I would also members say that our regular chaplain consistently comes to me and tells me that he's praying for a family member of mine who has an illness and what that means to me. And I'm clear that he prays for me and my family in his tradition, not in my tradition, and how I welcome that. And I'm so grateful for prayers wherever I can find them. And I think we all feel that way. And I don't understand really, Senator Hall, why this would be necessary, because I can't imagine a clergy person who would ever say a prayer that wasn't in their own manner and in accordance with their conscience and their religious tradition, because that is, in fact, what it means to be a clergy, is to have all, you know, we're all, as you might say in your tradition, sinners. We don't say that in my tradition. But we all make mistakes, and we do that on a regular basis. And yet we hold our clergy to higher standards. And one of those higher standards is our belief that they are directed always, as we all should be, but in accordance with their conscience, faith, and tradition. And so I don't see this as something that should be in rule, because it is expected of clergy. I might wonder whether or not the wording as put in the letter, and that was actually what I was questioning when I found myself in the flurry of national media attention, whether or not the statements in the letter about directing how the prayer be done in our Senate should be put in rule, but it seemed that the body really felt that custom and usage carried the day, and that was the decision back then, and so I didn't pursue that. So I guess at the end of the day, I would stand back and say, thank you to all clergy who comes before us. I honor the tradition that any clergy who stands before us brings. I know that they pray in their own tradition because that's the only way they can pray. And I don't believe that this rule clarifies anything or changes anything as proposed.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to very briefly comment on the letter that Senator Bach made reference to in terms of a Supreme Court case. I personally am not familiar with that case, but I believe Senator Bach indicated that it was a case that came out of the state of Nebraska, and undoubtedly the state of Nebraska's constitution is going to be different than that of the state of Minnesota. And so what I am suggesting is that members be a little bit cautious on relying on a representation in terms of a U.S. Supreme Court case as it would be applied to the Minnesota State Constitution. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Bach.
Well, Madam President, I appreciate Senator Newman's comment, but the court case I mentioned actually comes out of the U.S. Supreme Court, not the State Supreme Court of Nebraska. So it applies as the prayer issue is resolved by the U.S. Constitution, not by the Minnesota or Nebraska constitutions. Just point of clarification.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, Senator Bach, if you could be good enough to give us the cite on that, not now, but I'd like to pull up the court case sometime in the future. But you know, this discussion kind of reminds me of those bumper stickers you see on cars. You know, it's usually it's on the drive from Minneapolis to St. Paul, and I'm always looking for political messages. And those of us in this type of work, we're always looking at bumper stickers because it's got some benign or pointed remark. They actually get kind of fun to read after a while. Some of them are very clever, but the one that always is a foundation for me, I see it, and it's simply the word coexist, but it uses the letters. The letters are depicted in symbols. The C is like a Turkish, I think it's a moon, and there's a Star of David. There's a cross, and it simply represents pretty much the world's major religions on that bumper sticker. And in a perfect world, it would be one that we should all respect, simply to coexist with one another, to realize that we have differences, and some of those references in a faith are going to be in opposition to what we might have. And yet, I've watched this for many years, and we deny a clergy to really affect and actualize that person's faith when they come here as our guest. It's basically, I don't know, if I was going to invite someone over to my house, I would never say, let's say we were having dinner, and if I asked someone else who had a different faith and say, would you say grace before the table, I wouldn't want to put a disclaimer to them and say, oh, by the way, you can't pray in your deity's name. After all, I'm inviting them to speak. I'm inviting them to say grace before that dinner. I would find it to be accepted as rather insulting if I demanded a disclaimer on that particular moment. You know, there are faiths that direct their believers to pray in the name of that deity. And somehow we've decided to leave that at the door, invite someone in, but then we give them a disclaimer and a direction to say, oh, by the way, don't bring up, even though we're inviting you to be a representative of a particular faith, don't mention that faith. Don't mention that deity. And somehow I find it to be, as Senator Hall has mentioned, the reference in our Constitution where we should not make any abridgment to a person's faith or the exercise thereof. Somehow I think we're actually violating that. There are plenty of faiths that I would not agree with. We have had a wide number of clergy representatives that come before this body. We actually invite them here. And in respect, we stand for that moment of prayer. We've had representatives that speak in foreign tongues. I don't even know what they're praying. Am I in agreement with that prayer that I don't even know? I don't even have a translation? How could I? But at the same time, I stand in respect for that little percentage of population in the state of Minnesota that finds that faith near and dear to them. That's appropriate. That's respectful. But when certain faiths come here and they mention the deity in their prayer, some of us run down to the back room and scold them for doing that. Well, I certainly wouldn't do that to the guest at my table if I asked them to pray before a meal that I'm sharing with them. And I think it has a lot to do with the very same etiquette that we should have here in the Senate. I don't think it's going to hurt anyone if someone, even a representative of a faith that I certainly would not agree with or even go near the idea of sharing. It doesn't harm me. I have a strong enough constitution of my own and my belief structure that I can stand and be respectful of that person's faith. Kind of goes back to that bumper sticker of coexist. I think it's something that is something we should model, and I think it's something that we should try to exemplify. And then, after those mere seconds of a prayer, we get on to the work of the people in this house.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give the resolution its third reading. Oh, I'm sorry, we're voting on the amendment. There's no more discussion. All those in favor, there's been a roll call, sorry. A roll call has been requested. The secretary will take the roll on the A3. Those not voting have been excused. So all senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 25 in favor, 36 opposed, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments? Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. I will offer the A50 amendment.
The secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Nenow moves to amend Senate Resolution Number 60 as follows. Page 23 after line 11, insert.
Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. It's a fairly straightforward amendment. This simply would require that when a conference committee report is reported before the Senate, that we have at least a 24-hour period from the time that is reported to when we are required to vote on it so that we can read the bill, understand the provisions in it before we have to vote on the bill. Madam President, I've offered this proposal in the past, and I will give you the example that precipitated this thought. I do not remember the year that it was, but it was in my first term, and we were changing education standards. We were eliminating the profile of learning and implementing the new education standards. And if I recall correctly, I think it was the last day of session, and it was late at night, and the conference committee report came to the floor. I don't remember the exact time frame, but it was roughly from the time that conference committee hit the floor to when we voted, I believe was roughly 15 minutes. It was a multiple page bill. It was 30 pages or something like that. Maybe 15, I don't remember. But it came down to something like a minute per page or 30 seconds per page to read the bill before we were required to vote on it. There was effectively no discussion, no debate, and we voted on the bill. And what was even more egregious than that compressed time frame on an extraordinarily important policy change, what was more egregious was the fact that in that bill, the language that was enacted into law didn't exist. Now members, listen to what I just said here. This is an important point. The language that this body voted on, sent to the governor and got signed into law, was not in the bill that we voted on. What was in the bill was a reference to a document that existed on the Department of Education's computers with a document name and a timestamp and said, this is what's going to be the new education standards. That should never, ever happen again. This provision, I think it's good policy. I don't think it encumbers the Senate in any fashion. It just slows us down so that we can read the bills. What a novel idea that we read the bills and understand them before we vote on them. So, Madam President, I would encourage a roll. I would ask for a roll call vote, and I would encourage a green vote.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Senator Bach.
Well, thank you, Madam President. Senator Nenow, the joint rules between the House and the Senate on conference committees are referenced in your notwithstanding. So you're notwithstanding the joint rules. The joint rules provide that before a body of the legislature can take up a conference committee report, it has to have been on the members' desk or electronically available for 12 hours. So, Senator Nenow, I think the current joint rule is fine. It provides for a 12-hour viewing by all of us before it can be taken up by the respective body, a longer time if it's a file, if it's not a file from the place of origin. But members, I think this would put a tremendous burden at the end of session when a lot is going on and conference committee reports are closing up. I think this puts a lot of additional stress on the end of the session and all of the negotiations. And if you want a timely conclusion to the end of the session, I think this rule change makes that more difficult. So I'd urge a no vote.
Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. I will withdraw the A50 and I will offer the A51.
The A50 amendment has been withdrawn. The secretary will report the A51.
Senator Nenow moved to amend Senate Resolution Number 60 as follows. Page 23 after line 11, insert.
Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. This is essentially the same amendment. However, it allows for the last 3 days of session. Those 3 days are exempted. So the concerns Senator Bach expressed are taken care of in this amendment.
Is there any more discussion on the amendment? Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam President. I would also request a roll call vote on this amendment.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Senator Bach.
Well, Madam President, you know, I'm sure that I gave plenty of notice to members that we had created a subcommittee of the Rules Committee to take a look at proposed rules. I mentioned that if members had ideas, contact your subcommittee members, and members of the subcommittee did bring some potential rule changes to be considered by the subcommittee. And Senator Nino, I'm not sure why this, if you had this idea, why it wasn't considered by the subcommittee or by the full Rules Committee, but to do it on the fly here on the floor of the Senate without any consolation or consultation with the House, we're waiving a joint rule between the House and the Senate on conference committees. I'd be very reluctant to support this, not having engaged the House in this conversation in that it potentially impacts them in us waiving the joint rule. So, Senator Nino, I'd be happy to consider this at some other time, but I think today, without a full debate by the Rules Committee, it's inappropriate.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one last comment, just to be clear for the members. This does not have an impact on the direct operation of the House. This has an impact on the direct operation of the Senate. It would impact the time frame when we could act on a bill, but it would not have an impact on the operations of the House directly.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the A51 amendment. The Senate is under call. Members shall vote. Members would please vote. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 26 in favor, 34 opposed, the amendment does not prevail. The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments? Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam President. I will offer the A53.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Nino moves to amend Senate Resolution Number 60 as follows, page 21, line 24, after the period, insert.
Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam President. This is the same concept, but this is strictly for Senate action on a bill. The previous amendment wouldn't have directly affected any action in the House. It would have potentially had a tangential impact because of the conference committee involvement with the House. This is an amendment that's specific to Senate action on bills that are before the Senate, not conference committee reports. It would simply require a 24-hour period so that we would have the opportunity to, for example, when the Senate HHS bill comes up that will be, I'm sure, hundreds of pages long, those members that aren't serving on the committees in which it went through would have the time to review that, go over that with staff, talk to their hospitals, et cetera, things like that. And I will note that there is an opportunity to waive this rule if a 60% majority of the Senate wants to waive the rule. So if it's a fairly non-controversial a bill, we could waive the rule and take action on it right away if it's short or non-controversial. This is a kind of a scaled-down version of the previous amendment, and I would urge a green vote and ask for a roll call, Madam President.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Bach.
Well, Madam President, I think where we get into a problem here, clearly with Senate files, they're brought to the floor, they're given second reading, they lie over plenty long for people to have an opportunity to look at them. Where I think this potentially is problematic is where a Senate file comes back from the House with potential amendments on it. Oftentimes we take it up immediately. I think it creates a problem with the flow of bills between the House and the Senate when the House has an amendment that they put onto a Senate file, so I'd urge a no vote.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A53 amendment say aye.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear him ask.
I apologize, sir, and you know I didn't hear you ask for a roll call. Then if there's no further discussion on the A53, the Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 26 in favor, 34 opposed, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments? Is there any other discussion? The secretary will give the resolution its... Senator Bach, you need to move adoption of the resolution.
Madam President, I move adoption of Senate Resolution number 60.
All those in favor say aye. No. The secretary will take the roll on the resolution. All members having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will take the, the secretary will close the roll. There being 60 votes in favor, 0 opposed, the resolution is adopted. We move now to the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Are there any announcements? Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senators Han, Reinert, Clausen, Latz, Peterson J. Alday, Senator Westrum from 11 to 11:25, Senator Sieben at 12:15 until the end of session, Senator Champion at 1:05 until the end of session. Are there any other announcements? Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that the Senate do now adjourn until Thursday, April 11th, 11 a.m.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.